This chalom, this dream that Yaakov dreamt on his way out of Eretz Yisrael in the direction of Aram Naharaim. The pasuk says, if you look at the first section on the sheet, the pasuk says, "Vayachalom." Yachalom sometimes means a prophecy, but here I guess it means he had a dream. He actually had a dream. V'hine sulam mutzav arza b'shirosho magi ha-shamayma. There is this ladder, and the ladder is on the ground. And if you look up, it goes all the way up to heaven, whatever heaven might mean. V'hine malachei elokim olim v'yordim bo. That's what he saw. He saw the angels of God. I mean, somehow he recognized them. Maybe they had little pins that said angel of God, right? But I guess Yaakov was sensitive enough to some things to be able to recognize that there were angels going up and down.
But Avraham apparently didn't.
Avraham, well, the angels could put up a good front of looking like people. So for Avraham, they looked like people. For Yaakov, they looked like angels. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's what he saw. Malachei Elokim Olim V'Yordim Bo. The Olim V'Yordim, I mean, take it up from Rashi a little bit, but before we look at Rashi, are they the same angels? I mean, the ones that are Olim, it's like the kids on an escalator. You know, little kids, they go up and then they go down the down escalator. Is that how it was for the angels? Mm-hmm. No. Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'ine Hashem Nitzav Alav. This is serious. Maybe the angels is not so serious. I mean, what are angels? Anyway, they just do what they're told. But this pasuk says there's something very serious going on. V'ine Hashem Nitzav Alav. That God is standing above it. Nitzav means to be very strongly erect. You know, Atem Nitzavim Hayom. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Bnei Yisrael, "Atem nitzavim hayom," which means you're here forever. Like this contract that you're signing, the agreement with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's going to be forever. Like you're going to be forever. And so, "Vinei Hashem nitzav alav vayomar ani Hashem Elokei Abraham Avichu Elokei Yitzchak Haaretz Asher Ata Shochev Aleha L'cha Etnenu L'Zarecha." So you know that the Kabbalists were very interested in the use of God's name. So the most popular names are Hashem, Yudkei, Vavkei, and Elohim. Those are the popular names of God that are used in the Torah. Now you see in this Pasuk, Pasuk Yigimel says, V'inei Yudkei, Vavkei, Nitzav Alav. But then it says, V'yomer, and then it says, V'yomer Ani, Yudkei, Vavkei, Elohim Abraham Avinu, Avichav Elokei Yitzchak. So there's like a difference. Like, I am Yudkei Vavkei, who is the God of Avraham and Yitzchak. Right? So you have to somehow. So the Kabbalists would want to accommodate that. They want to know why this change of names is used in the same pasuk. Then it says, "Haaretz Asher Ata Shochev Aleha L'cha Etnenu L'Zar Echa." So here you have the real problem of these psukim. We'll go on the psukim in a minute, but the real problem of these psukim is what's the important thing? Is it the message or is it the vision? And if the message is important, like God says to Yaakov Avinu, don't worry, I mean, you're leaving Eretz Yisrael, but it's yours, you'll get it back, you'll come back, you know, whatever that discussion is. So then what do I need the angels going up and down for? And what do the angels tell me, if anything? If you look at the psukim, right, the pasuk yudalit, vayazar acha kafar haaretz, it's again the promise that was given originally to Avram Avinu, given now to Yaakov. Okay, whatever that means. I mean, other than being the lyrics to a popular Jewish song. Like, what do you mean, paratzta? Paratzta from where? From when? But let's say that these words had something to do with the inheritance of the land. Right? You can't. That's how you are paratzta. You're paratzta in land. And then he says, "Nivrechu b'cha kol mishvechot adama uvezar echa." Nivrechu b'cha. It'll be good for you, so there'll be an overflow that all the other nations of the world will also benefit. They'll also be to benefit from what's good to you. That's what the psukim say. But I ask you again: so why are the malachim olim b'yordim bo? Why do you have this vision of malachim v'Hashem nitzav alav, and then God speaks to Yaakov? And tells him, promises him that the bracha that was given to Avram Avinu and then repeated to Yitzchak, and Yitzchak repeated it to Yaakov, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiviyachol is telling it directly to Yaakov. Is it like, this is like the Avos did not, I don't know, I mean, I don't know, but I'm just saying it would sound like the Avos were not confident. Since HaKadosh Baruch had to repeat this promise again and again, then you would think that a promise is a promise. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch makes a promise, so that's the end of the discussion. He says, no, that HaKadosh Baruch keeps repeating this promise. This is a promise that doesn't sink in quite. In other words, the reality is annoying sometimes. Since here's Yaakov, he's getting chased out of Eretz Yisrael by Esav. Yaakov is the good guy, and Esav is the bad guy. And Yaakov is running, helter-skelter. His father agrees, and his mother agree. They're the ones who should have more faith in the promise than Yaakov had. So why did Yitzchak Rivka just say to him, stay? Don't worry, God promised that you're going to be the father of a great nation. I mean, so you'll probably be alive when this is all over. And in fact, at the end, you remember last year, next week's parasha from last year, if you remember that. So you remember that that Yaakov confronted Esav and miraculously was able to overcome. I mean, however he overcame, but somehow he did. There was a physical interaction, and Yaakov won, and his family was there, and Esav left with his 400 soldiers. So why couldn't they do that now? Why couldn't God just miraculously save Yaakov and put Esav in some kind of a bubble? Have him like roll around Eretz Kedar. Well, what is it that is happening exactly that God has to promise Yaakov over again and say to him, look, I know you're having a miserable time. So this question is so prevalent in our sources that even the Ramban and other Mefarshim as well, in order to justify, in order to understand why a story like this could happen, say that Yaakov was kind of the prototypical Jew throughout the ages. And Yaakov had to prove that you could go into the diaspora and come back from the diaspora. I mean, which seems like a rather fantastic idea. But it's the way they explained this imponderable. Like, why does Yaakov have to have this dream? What does the dream do for Yaakov's understanding of things? Now, Pasuk Tetvav, Hinei Anochi Imach Ushmarticha Bechol Asher Telech Vashivoticha Al Adama Azot Ki Lo E'ezavcha Ad Asher Masiti Et Asher Dibarti Lach. So God says, now I'll tell you pshat in what the promise means. This is like God explaining God to Yaakov, right? God says, the promise is intact. You're going to be the father of a great nation. You're going to inherit the land. And you know what that means? That I'm going to take care of you. I mean, I'm not going to let anything happen to you which would, from your side, end the promise or make the promise unacceptable. Pasuk Tet Zayin, Vayikatz Yaakov bishnato, vayoma achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh, vanochi lo yadati. Now this is really a difficult, not difficult, the words are easy enough. But here's Yaakov, he gets up. He gets up from the sleep that he's in. And he makes this rather remarkable statement. After all, God spoke to many people before this moment. Right? Avram and Yitzchak and Rivka and Sarah and Lot a little bit. And, you know, talking to God is not such a remarkable thing in the eyes of the Torah. So what is it that Yaakov is saying? Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnato, like he takes Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnato. To me it sounds like it means that he took it with him. He woke up with the dream. It was like, you know, sometimes you dream something or you think you dream something and you wake up and you don't remember exactly what it is. Or you say you didn't dream or something like that. Like you could be screaming and yelling in the middle of the night, and then when you get up, you say, "No, I didn't dream anything." Right? That's like, you know, most people are crazy. So they're a little crazy there also. I mean, what's the big deal? So what is he saying? What is Yaakov saying? By Yom Achein, Achein means Cain. Cain. Yes, it's true. It's really true. Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. What is this theology? What did he think before? What did he think before there was a dream? That Yesh Hashem only in certain fancy dresses, but not b'makom hazeh? What do we learn here? Anochi lo yadati. Anochi lo yadati. In other words, I, Yaakov, am different than Avram and Yitzchak because there's something that I didn't know that I just found out. Isn't that the doesn't mean I didn't learn Masechet Uktzin. You know, in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Abraham, maybe he did learn Masechet Uktzin. But I mean, it's not like Anochi lo yadati something, and now I know something. I mean, that would not be but you have to say Anochi lo yadati. I am the Talmid of Avraham and Yitzchak and Zorah and Rivka, and they taught me everything I was supposed to know, and there's something I didn't know. Now I know it. But the only trouble with that interpretation is we don't know what it is. Pasuk Yud Zayin Vayira Vayomar Manorah Makom Hazeh Vayira Vayomar. You know, Vayira is the word that means sometimes fear of something frightening, and also the fear of God, which is a religious response. It doesn't mean I'm a fear of God doesn't mean I'm afraid of what God might do to me. It's rather that when you confront certain things that are imponderable, you're consumed by fear. It's not. It's like the unknown frightens us. Like we go to some place we don't know whether to go to the left or the right, whether it's dark or it's light. I mean, all those things kind of frighten us at first because we don't know something about it. Whereas God is totally imponderable. Like you meet up with something that you have no way of evaluating and no way of putting it into a context. So that's Yiras Hashem. That's Yiras Hashem, which would mit galgel into this idea of Yirat Shamayim. Right? But it's really the same. So the word Vayira, you have to always think Vayira, Vayomar, Manora HaMakom Hazeh, right? Nora. Nora, Mora, it's frightening. You know, it's Nora produces Yirah. So if I say Nora Makom Hazeh, I'm talking about God. I'm not talking about the physical land, the way the land is, or whether the hills are high or low, or something like that. Nora Makom Hazeh, Ein Zeh. You know, we saw last week also. Zeh is a word that designates pointing. When you can point at something, it's close. You can say, Ein Zeh, he's pointing at something. What's the Zeh? What's the Zeh? Ki im Beit Elokim b'zeh shar ha-shamayim. The first time we heard these words, a Beit Elokim, I know he's talking about, he's out in the middle of nowhere, he's went to sleep on a stone. Right? What's the what's
also,
bait? What?
Also talking to himself, right?
Yeah. So what was he referring to? I mean,
that's weird.
What?
That's strange. Today we're talking telephones.
No. Oh. Okay. Seder. That's I didn't catch what you were saying. Okay. But what is he saying? What is he saying? Ein zeh. He could point at something. There's nothing there. He's woke up. He looks around. There's nothing there. And he says, Ein zeh ki im. This is certainly Beit Elohim. Okay, Beit Elohim, we translate right away to the Beit HaMikdash, which certainly did not exist, right? And so then it says, Vizeh Shar HaShamayim. Now, what could that possibly mean? We've never heard, maybe on Yom Kippur, but we've never heard of Sha'ar HaShamayim. I mean, what is it? Is a gate that goes to heaven? I mean, what gate is he talking about? What is it that Yaakov is? What is it that Yaakov is referring to? So let's skip the Rashi for the time being and see if we can figure it out. The second source is in Bereshit Perek Aleph. Vayom Elokim, this is the second day of creation. Vayom Elokim, Yehir Akia B'tocha Mayim, V'im Avdil Bein Mayim L'Mayim. So you know that one of the ways of creating the world was Mavdil. Right, that was one of the ways of creating the world, to separate one thing from another. And then, so the pasuk says that God created a rakia. I haven't got a clue of what a rakia is, right? But you know that it's translated usually as firmament. For years, I didn't have a clue what that meant either. But then finally I figured out that firmament must come from the word firm. Mm-hmm. Something firm. Like up in heaven, there's a shelf, a big shelf, where it separates what's below the shelf and what's above the shelf. So I figured that the people who said firmament probably didn't know what they were talking about. You know, like they were either drunk or otherwise indisposed when they translated the pasuk. But it's a problem of translation. You know, you can't say in a translation, I don't know what this word means. It's just not acceptable, right? You have to say something. You have to say something. So, King James. Okay, sometimes you could do that, but in the translation of the Bible, they didn't leave out a word. They translated every word, as did Unculus. But for Unculus, it was easier because Aramaic and Hebrew are similar sometimes. So you could write, for an unknown Hebrew word, you could write a similar unknown Aramaic word.
The Art Scroll does that,
right? The Art Scroll, don't they have a new translation? Isn't the Art Scroll new somehow? New usually means you take the King James and you spell the words a little differently. But basically it's the same. Except for, what's his name, made a new translation?
Aaron Kaplan.
Kaplan? Kaplan. Yeah. He made a new translation. But I don't think Art Scroll is a little bit different. They have certain things that they change. But translation is very difficult. I don't even blame Art Scroll for that.
Does Art Scroll also say firmament?
The what?
Does Art Scroll also say firmament?
I was hoping nobody would ask me that. But you could check it.
I could, yes.
You could check it, right? I don't know. I don't remember. That's what I don't remember. But anyway, this rakia is b'toch hamayim. It's somehow in the waters. V'hi mavdil b'mayim l'mayim. Right? Mm-hmm. So now, Pasuk Zayin is a further interpretation of Pasuk Vav. And Pasuk Zayin says, V'yas Elokim et harakia. So God made this rakia. Made something, vayas, right? That's part of creation. Vayavdel, and again emphasizing the word vayavdel to distinguish something. There are different kinds of creation, right? There's a creation of yesh me'ayin, Everybody agrees that there was something created Yeshmiyah, and then there's creation Yeshmiyah, and then there's Vayabdel, the kind of creation where you just, by distinguishing things, you create, like dry land was created by moving over the water and making a Vayabdel. Here's water, and here's dry land. So that nothing new was created, but the way it was organized was adjusted. So again, in this Pasuk Zayin says, Vayas Elokim et Arakiya Vayabdel Bein Amayim Asher Mitachad L'Arakiya Uvein Amayim Asher Me'al Arakiya Vayichein. So now if I had to paint the painting of the Rakiya, so I would like make water, and then on top of the water I'd make the sky, and in the middle I'd make a plank, and I'd say, that's it. That's how it was. There was a necessity to separate the up from the down. Now why? Up is water and down is water. I mean, what's the necessity in creation to do this thing? So look at Rashi. Rashi says, Yihirakiya, Yichazek Arakiya. Make it stronger. This Sha'afa Pishin Ivruusha Mayim Biyom Rishon. So Rashi, there's a different question. He says, after all, it says, Breishit Bara Elokim et Hashamayim ve'et Haaretz. And one pshat is that God actually created the heavens. So he said, what's the difference between the Rakia and the heavens? Adayin lachim ayu. Right? The heavens were moist, liquidy. So they weren't solid. V'karshu b'sheini. And they kind of got icy or hard on the second day. Migraat Hakadosh Baruch Hu Ba'omro Yehi Rakia. Right? That's what Yehi Rakia means. Let there be a strong one. Let there be a firm one. V'zeu Shekatuv, and there's a pasuk in Eov which is similar. Skip it. Ubisheini yitmahu migraato. On the second day, this deficiency was strengthened. Kadam shemishtomeim vaomeid migraat hamayim alav. So, like that's what it means. I mean, somehow Rashi is trying to say that the rakia of the first day is different than the rakia of the second day, but he doesn't tell us what you need a rakia for, right? So now look at Pasuk Zayin. Vayas Elokim et ra'iyu et ha'rakia. You see Pasuk Zayin in Rashi? Tikno al omado v'hi asiyato. He fixed it on its stilts or on its platform or the way it is. V'hi asiyato. And that's called Vayas. That God did not create the rakia then. He just put it in its place firmly. Right? It was firm and it was placed firmly. Vehi asiyato, and that's why it says the verb asbayas, kimo, vastat ziparneha. Remember this woman that you find in battle, Yifator, she does her nails. You say that in English also, don't you? I mean, if you do that. Kimo vastat ziparneha. Me'al harakia. Al harakia lo ne'mar. Ela me'al harakia. Rashi has this good sense of language. And he says that they have to explain why it says me'al harakia, but not al harakia. Lefishein tluyim ba'avir. They're hanging in the air. So how come the second day doesn't say Vayer Vayvoker Vayar Lakim Kitov? I'm sorry. Lefi shelo nigmara melechet hamayim ad yom shlishi. Vare itchil bo basheni. V'davar shelo nigmar eino b'miluo u'betuvo. So that this rakia was not everything. It's not all the vayavdel. You have to wait till the third day, till the waters gets collected and separated from the land, and that's connected to the rakia somehow, right? B'shlishi shenigra melechet hamayim v'itchil melech melacha acheret v'igamara Kafabo kitov shnei pa'amim. That's why Yom Shlishi, people want to get married. Right? I mean, on Tuesday. It costs more to get married on Tuesday than on Monday. So he says, Echad nigmar b'lechet ha'sheni, v'echad nigmar b'lechet ha'yom. So you... There's something strange about this rakia. Is it part of the creation? It was started on the first day, but it ended on the second day, and therefore it's pamayim kitov, but it's not, the kitov is not all on the first day, but it's on the second day. There's something about this that doesn't strike me as being proper. Okay, then the last pasuk is pasuk chet, v'yikra lukim l'rakia shamayim v'yere v'yivoka yom sheni, right? That's what Rashi was talking about. If you look at the Rashi, by Yukal Yulukir Shemayim, Sa Mayim, Shem Mayim, Eish Mayim, Shibavan Zeba Zeba Samihem Shemayim. What do you think about that? Eish Umayim. It was Eish Umayim, is something that can't live together in the world, in our world. It's a Shemayim. Is a remez for Eishumai, that's what the Rakia was made out of. But he had these kind of strange ideas in Rashi. One more parsha. If you turn the page, Perek Yud Aleph, Vayi Kol Haaretz Safa Echad Udvarim Achadim. Right? Rashi says, Safa Echad Lashon HaKodesh. Everybody spoke Hebrew after creation. God spoke Hebrew. Adam HaRishon spoke Hebrew and Chava. And then later on, when you had the nations of the world, everybody spoke Hebrew. Vayihi b'nasam mikedem vayimtzu'u bika b'eret shinar v'yeshvu shav. Vayihi. And it came to pass when they went from the east and they found a bika. They found a valley, Be'eret Shinar, which is in the land of Babel. And had this interesting, curious conversation. Hava nilbena levenim. Let's make bricks. V'nisrifa v'srifa. We'll burn them in the furnace. V'atihi lahem halavena la'even. And those bricks will become like stones, and the stuff you make it out of will be used again and again. Wow. And they said to each other, because it's all because they could speak the same language. That's why they were talking to each other. So there was a fault in creation. You know, everybody agrees that there's a fault in creation. I mean, the Mefarshim. They all agree there's a fault that God created the world, but somehow there's a fault in creation, which is the way we get to Bechira Chofshit, right? Everybody knows that there shouldn't be Bechira Chofshit. Because we should, by our natural inclination, always do the good thing, the right thing, the positive thing, since we're created by God. And since God is certainly good, so we, created by God, should certainly be inclined to do good. But we aren't. We have free choice. So what does free choice mean? We can consider doing the wrong thing. If you can't consider doing the wrong thing, so you don't have free choice. L'cha'ura. I mean, I'm just telling you what people say. I'm not telling you that I know anything about this topic. So we have free choice. That's what we have decided. That's what there's even a pasuk in the Torah that seems to indicate that. V'charto v'chayim l'man tichyeh means that you have free choice, that you should choose wisely. But it also means that you could choose wrongly. If you can't choose wrongly, you don't have free choice. And free choice was invented b'olam hazeh by Adam HaRishon, who chose poorly. But he proved to us that we have free choice. And it was the fact that other Marishon and Chava were able to choose poorly, even though they knew that God told them not to, meant that even commanded directly by God, they have free choice. And that's why Avram Avinu represented the superior human being. Because when God told him to do something, he did it. That's what a Nisayon is. The Nisayon is to see whether he could deal with the fact that he had free choice, and he did. Avram Avinu, and that's why Avram Avinu is called Ohavi, the Novi Yeshayahu. The Rambam quotes it. The Rambam calls him, when he talks about the creation of the world, the creation of Avodah Zarah, Rambam calls him Avraham Ohavi. Because this Ava is the perfection that was represented by Avram Avinu, where he was able to choose correctly. And God told him to go to Eretz Canaan, which is not a big deal. And apparently he was in Haran. And Haran was at that time a major trading center. Right? So who knows? I mean, Avram Avinu could have opened up an Amazon book store in Haran. And God told him to go to Eretz Canaan. Eretz Canaan was nothing. I mean, historical sources. There was nothing there. Eretz Canaan was just the place that everybody overran. Like when the Babylonians were strong, they overran it on the way to Egypt. When the Egyptians were strong, they overran it on the way to Babylonia or Syria. But Eretz Israel was never, a real power or place that pulled people in that direction, right? The people lived there, but there was no big aliyah in the days before, in the days of the Melachim. I mean, they were fighting against Ammon and Moab and Plishtim, minor players in the political scene. They were not fighting well against Babel and Ashur in Egypt, who were the major players in the political scene. So Avram Avinu understood that a direct command from God had to be responded to. He had to do what God wanted, and that was how Avram Avinu justified the creation of the world. And eventually that somehow got into the DNA of the Jewish people, that if God directs you to do something, you do it. Right? And we developed notions like pikuach nefesh and mesirus nefesh and things that where we say we could understand that sometimes God's demand, I mean, we adjusted our thinking about it, because there of the 7,000 mitzvot that exist, right, besides the 613 that you've heard about, but there are like 7,000 others that exist. So not all of them are the same when it comes to Mesirut Nefesh, but it doesn't mean that we've abandoned the notion of Mesirut Nefesh. We do not abandon that notion. And that we got that all from Avram Avinu, and also from Yitzchak. I mean, Yitzchak was... Yitzchak was Vayehu Shneim Yachtav, right? That he was with his father. Whatever his father said, he was willing to accept. So here we have Pasuk Hey, Vayered Hashem lirot et ha'ir v'et ha'migdal asher banu b'nei ha'adam. So God comes down, indicating that before God came down, God was not so much around. I mean, could you say that? I mean, it was these people who are doing whatever they're doing are not confronting the presence of God at the same time. They're doing their thing. They're not concerned about whether God would agree or accept or not or reject. Pasuk Vav, Vayomer Hashem. Hein am echad v'safa echad kulam v'zeh achilam la'asot. And that's what caused them to do. Caused them to do what? What is it that they did V'zeh chilav la'asot v'ata lo yibatzer mehem kol asher yazmu la'asot. Lo yibatzer mehem, it will not be denied to them, whatever it was that they wanted to do. So let's look at the Rashi. Safa achat, lashon ha-kodesh, u'dvarim achadim. Ba'u be'itza achat. They got together, they thought about the problem, v'amru, lo kol heimenu, she'yivror lo et ha'elyonim. Na'ale l'arakia, v'naseh imo milchama. They had this idea that that this distinction, that the people who are the Elyonim, who see have some kind of advantage over us, we should bring that to an end. We should na'alel arakia v'nasei mo milchama. We're going to fight with them. We'll do battle. Davar acher al yichido shel olam. They were talking about the connectiveness, the oneness of the world. Davar acher udvarim achadim. Okay, what do the words dvarim achadim mean? Amru achat le'elef v'sheish v'chamishim v'sheish anim arakia mitmoteit kishem she'asa b'yimei ha'mabul bo'u v'naseh lo smuchot. Okay, so the Medrash said, the Medrash sort of say, what, are they crazy? Like, what, they're going to go and build a migdal and go up to heaven? I mean, where did they get such an idea? They said, well, they knew that there would be a mabul, and they knew that the world would be destroyed. So if they could somehow prop up the rakia and keep the waters above, and the water then below, it would be all right. So whatever that might mean. I mean, what I mean to say is that these people who spoke a language, who spoke the same, the language of creation, They saw what they felt was a fault in creation. And the fault in creation was that they were not able to achieve the heights or the closeness to God that they realized were there. They were right there in front of them. It was right there. They could go up to heaven. I mean, they can't because of the rakia, but it was right there. The rakia not only hid heaven from them, it indicated to them that there was heaven. It was there. So what did they want? They wanted to go to heaven. They wanted heaven. They said, if God is in heaven, it must be pretty good up in heaven. So maybe we should go there. Maybe we should go up to heaven. And so they planned it, right? They planned their thing. Pasuk Gimel, look, see, Ishvere Ehu. Rashi says, Uma lo Uma. Mitzrayim lekush, lekush leput, put leknan, hava hizminu atzmechem. Be ready. Kol hava lishon hazmanahi. The word hava means readiness. Shemichinim atzmam, they get themselves ready, mitchaburim lamlacha, they get connected to the task, o la'itza, or to the advice, o lemasa, or to the burden. Hava hizminu. His minu, right? Whatever the laws means. Leveinim, again. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to them, Pasukei vayerid Hashem lirot, we said what we said, lo hu tzrach lekach, elaba lelamed ledayanim, shelo yashiyu hanidon ad sheyiru v'yavinu. You know, sometimes Rashi says that the pasuk, the words in the pasuk can't really apply to what it seems to be talking about, because it's either extraneous, unnecessary, or theologically unacceptable. In this case, theologically unacceptable, because the only way you could say about God vayered is if God is not every place. You can't move from one place to another if you're in both places. So Vayered Hashem Lirot creates a theological difficulty. And Rashi says, Lo hu tzrach lekach. This has nothing to do with God. But it teaches me something about Dayanim. Shelo yarshiun hanidon. They should not find the nidon, the whatever it is, guilty, you should not find the person who is being attacked, shouldn't find him guilty, ad sheyiru v'yavinu. In other words, you go down, the dayanim, they sit on a high platform. Mm-hmm. Even here in Israel, they do, I mean, in, not in the small dayanut, but in the major dayanut, they all, it's like those old schools in Germany, you know, the teachers would sit on a platform, on a, in front of, in back of a desk on a platform so that the kids should know that he's the teacher. There was apparently no other way. So these words vayered, I mean, I emphasize this because it's important for us to try to figure out what the words mean. So I made a suggestion. Vayered Hashem lirot meant that up to now in the story they didn't feel the connection with God. These people who are building the Migdal Babel didn't feel the connection to God. And then it says Bnei Ha'adam Ela Bnei Mi. What do you have to say, Bnei Ha'adam? Shema Bnei Chamurim Ugmalim, maybe they're the children of donkeys and camels. Ela Bnei Adam Arishon, they're the children of the first man. Shekafar Et HaTova V'Amar HaIsha Asher Natata Imadi. He kind of rejected the goodness that God gave him, you know, gave him a wife. And he said, no, this woman that you gave me, she caused all this trouble. Af elu kafru b'tova limrod b'mi she'ishbiyam tova. Right? They also were kafuye tova. These people, all of these people, were not willing to accept the limitation of creation, which was that you can't go up to heaven. You can't go up to heaven. Okay. I wanted to show you a passage from the Shem Yishvur, but it's got lost instead. What I got here is this picture of this painting by Turner. You see that? Found in the Tate Gallery. Instead of Turner, I asked for the Shem Yishvur. But whoever did it thought Turner was more important. So you can decide on your own. But now I'll tell you what I think the pshat is in all of this. Here is Yaakov. Yaakov, he has certain doubts about his own position, because he's not able to overcome Esau. He went with his mother. He fooled his father. Right? He got dressed up. He brought food. He received the blessing. He finally received the blessing of Avraham Avinu from his father at the end of last week's parsha. Remember, if you remember the story, Yitzchak said, I'm going to give you a bracha. He said it to Esau, but he ended up giving it to Yaakov. And then Esau came along and he said, what? No bracha for me? I mean, so Yitzchak gave him a bracha as well. Now, both of these brachas were about Olam Hazeh kind of brachas, which means that Yitzchak knew very well that Yaakov was going to get the bracha of Avraham, because he gave it to him at the end of the parsha, of last week's parsha. Nevertheless, in spite of all that Yaakov went through, he was unable to take the seat of Yitzchak at that time. He was unable to be vindicated before Esau. He was unable to convince Esau that he was the inheritor. Esau, Adarav, Esau said, I'm going to kill him. He said he was going to kill him. And Yitzchak and Rivka, who should have known, were really afraid of this threat of Esau's. In other words, they didn't say, no, no, he has no children, but the promise is that he's going to have children, and we're not afraid of Esau. But there was a kind of a breakdown of faith on the part of Yitzchak and Rivka that could not have but affected Yaakov. Yaakov was looking to his parents for strength and support. Instead of strength and support, they received that nervousness and you better run away, you better go to my family and, you know, as far away as you can. I mean, Esau's not going to chase you because Esau has claims to the land around here. So Esau is going to stay and you can run. And that must have created a certain amount of unpleasantness in the heart of Esau, in the heart of Yaakov. So Yaakov is running and he goes to sleep and he has a dream. Now what is Yaakov thinking about? What is Yaakov thinking about? Yaakov is saying, look, if my parents are worried, if I have no guarantee, if I have no guarantee that that I'm going to be Yaakov, the son of Yitzchak, and that Esav is going to fade into oblivion, not into oblivion, but it's going to fade out of the family. If I don't have any guarantee, so who says I'm going to come back? So in order to emphasize the fact that Yaakov is going to come back, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yaakov, listen Yaakov, personally, you're going to get the bracha. Right? You're going to get the bracha. And that should be enough to satisfy Yaakov. But it probably was not. There was some innovation that Yaakov had to have, that Yaakov had to receive. In other words, as far as Yaakov was concerned, the bracha to Abraham had already become depleted in the hands of Yitzchak and Rivka. Yitzchak and Rivka apparently were not certain. They were not certain that this would all work out. So they told Yaakov to run away. Yaakov wanted certainties, and the certainty came, the second half of the certainty came to Yaakov through the promise. God promised Yaakov, just as God promised Abraham, and God promised Yitzchak, God promised Yaakov. But that probably was not enough. That probably was not enough because Yaakov would have said, but even my parents are not certain. Even Yitzchak and Rivka are not certain about what's going to be. So even if you tell me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the promise is still alive and well, I don't know that it will be fulfilled. And this is the issue in the book of Bereishis, right? You can say that all through the theme of the book of Bereishis, usually we say, like the Ramban said, that the theme of the book of Bereishis is Bria. But the theme of the you could say, or what I think is more, reflects more of the book of Bereishit, is that the theme of Bereishit is Bitochon. Bitochon meaning having confidence that no matter what the situation you're in is, the divine promise will be kept. That's the overriding issue in Bereishit. And here you have Yaakov. Yaakov got this crunch. Because if Yaakov gets a promise from God, it's not any different than the promise that Avram received, that Yitzchak received, which has fallen into some sort of disuse along the way. So Yaakov has a dream. Yaakov has a dream. And that dream is in fact an answer to the question of what the Anshei Shem in the end, in Bereishit Perek Yud Aleph did. I mean, what was it? What was it that they did? They responded to the Rakia. It's like you'd have a drawer. You know, you have locked, you keep, you have one drawer in your house that has a key, and you keep it locked. So the people come to steal the stuff in your house, they go right to that drawer. And they say, let's open that one, let's get that open. Must be something good there because it's hidden away. So that the human being, Adam and Chava and their children and descendants were created with this mystery, the mystery of the Rakia. What's above? What's above the Rakia? And so they decided to try to find out, to get to that which is being hidden from them, from that knowledge that they are not able to adopt and to use. So they built a Migdal. Rosho was in heaven. It was mamish in heaven. Vayered Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down to show his disappointment with them, that they were unable to kind of live with the mystery of the Rakia. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you guys are down here, and up there there's something else. Something better, something more interesting, something better, but not, it's not for you. You can't go there. You can't go up to there. So Yaakov was leaving Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov was leaving Eretz Yisrael. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu show him? Then in spite of the Migdal Bavel story, it's not true that there's an absolute cap on connecting the world below the Rakia with the world above the Rakia. And the Migdal Bavel that they could not build in Bavel will be built b'makom hazeh, in this place, and that's what Shar HaShamayim is. Shar HaShamayim is the opening in the Rakia, which enables you to kind of get from the world in which you live to the world in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the angels are to be found. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave this new information. You know, Chazal say that there's a Beis HaMikdash in heaven which kind of parallels the Beis HaMikdash on earth. And that means that there's a place for us in heaven. I mean, not a place for us, Olam Haba, after people die, but there is a way to heaven for people who are alive, Olam Hazeh. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu told this secret to Yaakov. And because he told this secret to Yaakov, it guaranteed that Yaakov would come back. Because Yaakov became the incarnation of Migdal Bavel. He was the one who knew it. He was the one who knew that Ein Zeh Ki Im Beis Elokim Zeh Shar HaShamayim. He knew that to be true. That the fact that Migdal Bavel was not successful was a result of the fact that they did not build it in the right place, and it did not go up to Shar HaShamayim. What it did was shake up the Rakia, which was unacceptable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that the Migdal Bavel is not going to work, it's not going to connect. But to Yaakov Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know where it is. You know what you can have here that you can never have in Bavel. And on that basis, I'm certain that you will return, that you'll return to Eretz Canaan. Because it's not just the promise of children. It's also not the promise of wealth of one kind or another, having land. But it's the promise of Shar HaShamayim, which can only exist. I mean, that's what the Migdal Bavel people didn't understand. They didn't understand that you could do it. That the Rakia is known to us, and it was there in order to be broken into, so to speak. We should go to it, but we had to go to it through it in the proper place, in the place that was designated, and that was the place which is called ultimately Shar HaShamayim, where you have the ladder on earth, but the head of the ladder is where God is. Elokim nitzav alav. And the Malachim Olim V'Yordim, meaning that it is their place. They have a place there. But through the dream that Yaakov had, it was opened up to him. It could be yours, Yaakov. The Beis HaMikdash could get you beyond the Rakia into heaven. And on that basis, with that knowledge, with that information that Avram Avinu was not privy to, even though Avram Avinu did Akeres Yitzchak Moriah, yes, but he was not privy to this piece of information that there's a ladder that connects the earth to beyond the Rakia into heaven. That he was not aware of. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Yaakov aware of that because it had to be perfectly clear to Yaakov that the highest kind of experience that we could have, Olam Hazeh, can only be in that place at that time. Okay, I'm sorry, we're missing. If you have a chance, the Shem Yishmul Tav Reish Ayin Beis talks about this question. All the best.